Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am not joined by anybody for this one. I am riding solo for this. Pete and I considered recording from Tom's Urban tonight. We had a fun night with everybody, and we did the townhouse thing, and then, you know, we answered questions with everybody. It was a lot of fun. We had a blast with everybody who showed up, but the audio wasn't quite going to work out, and I just didn't want to do that with everybody. So we decided to, A, on one front, kind of sort of reward the people who showed up for the event and asked questions and mingled and all of that, and then also, you know, kind of show Tom Zurbin why it's the right thing to kind of do here with continuing to partner with Locked On Lakers. And then, you know, I got home a little while ago, kind of hung out with the wife a bit. I hadn't seen her since like 7 in the morning this morning. So I decided I would hop on to this one, riding solo to talk about the Trevor Ariza, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Wayne Ellington, and now Terrence Ross kind of dynamic, and how all of that is going on. And then also kind of tie that back to the result that the Lakers had against the Houston Rockets, in which James Harden scored 50 points and essentially was asked to pay rent at the free throw line. All of these things are intermingled, and I'll get to that here in a bit. I do want to, though, really quickly thank Tom Zurbin for their incredible hospitality. They were great with. They're still trying to set up their upstairs area, and yet still made it work with all of us who were there. Harrison, not the Harrison who used to be on the show and that I currently still work with, but Harrison over there at Tom Zurbin was really good about trying to make it work as best he could, and then made sure to say on our way out the door that, hey, we next time we do this kind of thing, which implies that we might do that kind of thing again, that by the time we get there, that food will be easier to come by and everything will be a little bit better sorted out. So that's really exciting. And then the other thing that I kind of realized in organizing this and doing whatever I could on my end of things is that it seems to me that there are quite a few fans all over the area of Southern California and elsewhere that there's an audience for these kinds of events. So if you're listening to this right now and you can think of a bar that you would think fits however many people that we were able to squeeze into there that given night, and wants to help me get this kind of thing sorted out again in your area, reach out to me and I'll get in touch with the restaurant or bar owner and I'll give them my numbers and all of that and how many people I can expect to get into the house on any given night. There's plenty of incentive to keep these things going. So we should do that more often. There was a lot of fun. We had a blast. We just sat there and we watched the game together. A lot of people got to watch Pete watch a game in person, which I'm sure was a treat because he lives and dies on every single possession. That was great to see. On a couple occasions, he slammed the table and with his hand and kind of got everybody kind of looking in his direction. But we all kind of rallied around that, and we just kind of cheered our way through the game, and that was a lot of fun. So thank you to everybody who showed up tonight or last night. And thank you to Tom Zurbin for hosting. I can't wait to do it again. It was it was one of those moments where you kind of realize, wow, we're kind of sort of making it. This actually might work out. So that was pretty cool. I got to show Jen the number of people who kind of sort of listened to the show and that stuff. So that was a lot of fun. When we come back, though, I'm going to get to the root of, or the central subject of this conversation, which is whether or not the Lakers should trade for Trevor Ariza, and whether or not he is an actual upgrade over Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and the other wing options that the Lakers might be offering up on the open market. So we'll get to that in a bit. Today's show, though, is brought to you in part by Mazuma. Mazuma USA has been just incredible. I keep using the same word because I want to maintain consistency. Just like Mazuma has been consistent in their continued support of not only this show, like, my show does not exist in its current format without Mazuma's continued support. They have been incredible, not just in terms of helping me organize the finances of this show and this growing business that we're continuing to try to develop, but also just in terms of the support that they have and the trust that they have in us that will come through on their end too. So what I'm going to do, Mazuma USA is, they have for $75, starting at $75 a month, they have CPAs, bookkeepers, and accountants right here in the U.S. who are within a call or an email away to help your small business grow. They can be reached to figure out which package makes the most sense to you at 213-947-6926. Again, that's 213-947-6926. I'm going to say it one more time. Grab a pen and paper. That's 213-947-6926. They have everything that your small business might need as it pertains to the finances of that small business. So give them a call. That's Mazuma, your small business's one-stop shop for bookkeeping, taxes, and unlimited accounting advice. We're going to take another small break here, and when we come back, we're going to keep on getting after this conversation about Trevor Ariza and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. All right, so I've done a lot of thinking about this because on one hand, as you guys heard, Matt and I talked a lot about public negotiations and how cumbersome that might be and how that sometimes gets in the way of whether or not a trade gets made. But on the other, and those of you who were there listening to the show live, not the show, but Pete and I talking live, Pete seems to think that this deal really might actually happen. So I just want to first, in this segment, talk about Trevor Ariza and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. And I thought that the Lakers' most recent loss to the Houston Rockets showed a lot of why Ariza makes some sense for the Lakers. So let's start here. If you ask yourself, which are the teams that you're most concerned about in the Western Conference? There should be two teams that really stand out to you, right? The Lakers have already won the season sweep against Portland. They have seemed to struggle against Denver, though Denver is Denver, and Denver can prove me that they aren't Denver whenever they do that. So if you were to actually honestly ask yourself which two teams concern you the most in the Western Conference, it's probably the two teams that played in the Western Conference Finals last year, right? The Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets. Well, the Lakers played the Houston Rockets last night, and you started to kind of sort of see a trend here. The Lakers that were, because Brandon Ingram didn't play, they had to put Kyle Kuzma on James Harden. They had to put Josh Hart on James Harden. They had to put Kentavious Caldwell-Pope on James Harden. And they tried to just kind of like cycle through guys, hoping to find somebody who could make that matchup work defensively. You're never going to stop him outright because he utilizes a bastardized approach to basketball that quite frankly sucks to watch, but still, you still have to defend it no matter how ugly and unfun it is to watch. And the Lakers didn't quite have the right kind of matchup out there. And one of the things that we talked about amongst the people who were there or watching the game with us was that Brandon Ingram, because of his athleticism, can take more conservative approach to guarding James Harden. And that's because he can close space between him and Harden, utilizing his athleticism and his length, right? That's why he's still valuable, despite his offensive struggles alongside LeBron James. The same can be said about Trevor Ariza, right? And again, what it comes down to is, all right, there are two teams that the Lakers are kind of sort of worried about heading into the playoffs next year. One, the Golden State Warriors, because they might be one of the better collections of talent that the NBA has ever seen. So you gotta build your team for that. And also because the number two team in the conference heading into the season was the Houston Rockets. And you need as much length that you can possibly have to deal with James Harden, because anytime you get anywhere near his body, he's going to fall over. And NBA referees are too terrible to figure out when he's flopping and when actually contact was actually made, right? So as good as Kentavious Caldwell-Pope is, and Pete would make the case that Pope is a better player right now than Trevor Ariza, those extra few inches that Trevor Ariza has allows him to play a little bit more conservatively and not have to get into James Harden's body, and as such might not allow Harden to get to the free throw line, which really, if you're trying to figure out a way to defend against the Houston Rockets, like, your number one priority is keep him off the free throw line. And you need as many good defenders and solid defenders and athletic long defenders that you can possibly put together to avoid that or stop that from happening. And in that respect, I do think Trevor Ariza is worth the additional asset that it might cost on top of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope to land him. We're going to take a quick second here. When we come back, I want to talk about the other guys who have been popping up and the other teams that have been popping up, and what it all might mean for the Lakers as it pertains to Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, the kind of players that they seem to be targeting, all of that here in a bit. All right, so let's start here. The Lakers right now are looking at, it seems to be, three wings. Trevor Ariza, who we spoke about in the last segment. Wayne Ellington, who they've already employed and in my opinion, mistakenly did not sign over this last summer. And Terrence Ross, who turns into an MVP every single time that he plays against the Lakers. I want to start with Ross. We'll get to Ellington here in a second, but I want to start here with Ross. And it's one of my concerns with this current front office. Magic Johnson was very adamant and overruled the Lakers scouting department in drafting Mo Wagner. He did that because he watched a couple games of Wagner's and was impressed enough to say that that's his guy, right? If you watch Locked On, or if you watch, not if you, you can't watch Locked On Lakers, but if you watch Backstage Lakers in the episode that they draft Wagner, Pelinka was very clear about kind of saying, whoop, that's Magic's guy. And based on what I've heard, the scouting department wasn't particularly thrilled with Magic Johnson overruling them to draft Wagner. That's all reporting. I can confidently say all of that. I feel like the same kind of thing is going on here with Terrence Ross, where he's a decent player. He's all right. He's fine. I kind of feel like him and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope are the Spider-Man meme, that kind of mirror image Spider-Man meme. In which case, I'm not really thrilled about potentially having to offer up an extra asset to land Terrence Ross. But whatever, I guess. I wouldn't be bummed out, I guess, if he landed on the Lakers. My thing there, though, is, and I know you guys love when I talk about this, is process. Is that the right process that the Lakers should be taking here? Is that because Terrence Ross is shooting something like 70% from three-point range against the Lakers, and maybe those are the couple games that Magic Johnson watched that month, that's the right guy to acquire? That makes me nervous a little bit, right? I reported early about Mo Wagner. I want to be clear. That's stuff that I can confidently say took place. Here with Terrence Ross, I don't know for a fact that Magic watched the Lakers against the Orlando Magic and is now forcing their hand and saying, hey, we should just go out and get that Terrence Ross guy, right? I don't know for a fact that that's happening. I'm just trying to show that we've seen it happen before, and maybe potentially it might be happening again, right? And I'm not particularly thrilled with the process that might potentially be going on there, right? When we talk about Wayne Ellington, we've seen Ellington play before. I really liked Ellington out here in L.A. The Lakers really liked Ellington out here in L.A. For whatever reason, they opted to go, because Ellington was a free agent this last year, they opted to go and sign Lance Stephenson or Michael Beasley. Both signings have been pretty disappointing to this point. If you were to actually grade them out over the entirety of the season that they've played for the Lakers so far. And so if the Lakers are able to kind of make amends and bring in Wayne Ellington with a reasonable or for a reasonable price, then all right, I can roll with that. That said, he's not quite as long as Trevor Ariza. So if I were to rank these guys in order, I would probably go Trevor Ariza at the very top with a bit of a gap, and then Wayne Ellington, and then with another little bit of a gap, and then Terrence Ross. And probably somewhere in between there, I would probably keep. Like, so if I had a ranking of guys I would like to have on the Lakers team and the cost that it might take to keep them or have them on the team, I'd go Ariza, and then Ellington, and then KCP, and then Terrence Ross. That's kind of how I would like to see this play out. But you know, we'll see how the next few days unfold. Pete was very confident that he seems to think that this trade is going to go through, and quite a few people are very confident that some type of KCP, what would amount to KCP for Trevor Ariza trade, will go through. I think that's a net positive for the Lakers. We'll see what kind of draft assets have to go out to be able to make it work. But still, I still feel pretty confident in saying that Trevor Ariza in Kentavious Caldwell-Pope's place is, at the very least, a little bit more predictable in big situations. I just don't know how Pope is going to handle those spots. And given the direction of the Lakers right now, they're going to make the playoffs. And I want the guy who I can more confidently predict their production in that type of setting. We'll see how it all plays out, though. This is a little bit shorter of a show, and that's because I'm recording right now at like 2 in the morning. I'm kind of tired. It's 12:30 in the morning. So that just kind of speaks to how tired I am. I missed a 1 at the very beginning of a clock. So that'll do it for this episode. I want to 100,000,000% thank Tom Zurbin for hosting the show tonight. I want to again thank all of you guys who showed up and just watched a basketball game with us. I hope that we're able to pull something like that off again moving forward as we get deeper into the season. They seem to be open to that kind of thing over there at Tom's Urban. So I'll keep kind of bugging him and needling him and we'll figure that out. But thank you to everybody who showed up. Thank you for everybody who's supported the show to this point. Thanks to everybody who supported the show, even dating back to pre-Locked On Lakers days. I would not be here right now without all of the incredible support that I've been able to receive over the last 5-6 years or so. So tonight was a really cool night. And on that note, I'm going to sign off. Have a great weekend. Make sure you guys get your questions in to iTunes. And on Sunday, I'll answer them for Monday's show. Have a great rest of your day and weekend. Thanks, everybody.